Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the teleclass, Methods of Monitoring Hand Hygiene, Frequency, and Compliance. My name is Paul Weber, and I am honored that you've made this time to join this teleclass. This is Infection Control Week in Canada anyway, and International Infection Prevention Week around the globe. And in our planning for the teleclass that we knew would fall during this week, we felt that it was important to have one of our top teleclass lecturers, someone with a proven record of presenting really great information, who's a successful researcher, a successful lecturer, a prolific author, and someone who is in great demand. And, of course, it didn't take us very long at all to settle on Dr. John Boyce. As you can see on the title slide, Dr. Boyce works in the infectious diseases section of the Hospital of St. Raphael, and is a professor at Yale University School of Medicine. If you do a PubMed search for J.M. Boyce, as I did this morning, you'll find that he has something like 200 peer-reviewed articles, and on a broad spectrum of infection prevention and control topics. He came to very wide recognition a few years ago when he co-authored the CDC guideline on hand hygiene, and it is the science of hand hygiene, I think, that perhaps brings him his greatest renown. Today, Dr. Boyce is in Vancouver to give a lecture at the International Infectious Diseases Society Conference, but he managed to find a phone and a quiet room to join us for the next hour. So to give the teleclass, Methods of Monitoring Hand Hygiene, Frequency, and Compliance, from Yale University by way of Vancouver, Canada, I am delighted to present Dr. John Boyce. Dr. Boyce.
Thanks, Paul, for the nice introduction and for giving me the opportunity to talk about hand hygiene frequency and compliance monitoring. If we go to the next slide, you'll see that I've listed my disclosures there. I won't go through them in detail, but you can look at these later. So let's go on to the next slide. So there are a variety of methods that can be used to look at hand hygiene compliance and frequency. Direct observation, which is the current gold standard, self-reporting by healthcare workers. You can look at some of these things indirectly by measuring product usage, which can be done either by manually measuring the amount of product used or by electronic measurement of product usage, and by automated monitoring of compliance. Now, self-reporting by healthcare workers has shown to be not very reliable, so I'm not going to talk too much more about that today. Next slide. Currently, observational surveys conducted by trained personnel who are often but not always infection preventionists are still considered the gold standard method for establishing hand hygiene compliance rates among healthcare workers. Some of the advantages of direct observations are that it is the only method that can really assess hand hygiene technique, like how long people are cleaning their hands and how well they're doing it. It's the only method to detect whether or not all hand hygiene opportunities are followed by healthcare workers. It's one of the few methods that can identify the type of healthcare worker that's doing the hand hygiene. And it can also identify situations that require further education of staff. Next slide. Now, despite the fact that it's the current gold standard, there are some problems associated with doing observational surveys. First, they're rather time-consuming. They can only check a very small fraction of all the hand hygiene opportunities that occur in a health facility every day. And for that reason, it raises questions about the validity of our findings. There are often problems with inter-rater reliability of the observers. And just the simple fact that you're observing healthcare workers may modify their behavior, the so-called Hawthorne effect. Next slide. There's also a lack of standardization of these observational surveys. The criteria used for compliance by different healthcare facilities can really vary substantially with respect to compliance before, during, and after care, whether you're looking at touching patients versus the environment only, and if you're looking at technique, what you consider appropriate amount of time and completeness of hand hygiene. The observation techniques used by different facilities also vary considerably with respect to the type of observers that are used, the level and training of the observers, the duration of the observation periods that the observers conduct, and whether or not they do observation during the day only, or whether they include all shifts and even the weekends. So there's a lot of variability in the way people do direct observation, and for that reason, it's very problematic to compare rates between facilities. Next slide. To help facilities with their direct observational surveys, the World Health Organization Save Lives, Clean Your Hands campaign has made a variety of tools and resources available that can be downloaded for free. On the bottom of this slide, I've shown the internet website that you can go to for this information. Next slide. Now, one of the tools that's available is called the WHO Hand Hygiene Observational Tool. This observational form is designed to help facilities and observers to record the different five moments of hand hygiene that are listed here under the column labeled Indication. So the five moments are before touching patients, before doing an aseptic procedure, after a body fluid exposure, after touching a patient, and after touching the patient's surroundings. So if you haven't seen this form before, I would recommend that you go to the WHO website and download it and see if it may be helpful to you in doing your direct observations. There's also a set of instructions that accompany this form. Next slide. Now, regardless of what type of audit form or observation form that you're using, it's very important to make sure that your observers are trained adequately so they know how to appropriately score compliance and non-compliance. So the WHO developed a training film with some accompanying slides that you can download and view if you go to the website listed at the top of this slide, click on Tools and Resources, and then click on an icon for Tools and Training and Education. And then you'll see an item that I've shown here called Hand Hygiene Training Films and slides accompanying the training films. So by clicking on the training film, you can view a variety of different interactions between healthcare workers and patients. And the accompanying slide set will tell you whether or not the healthcare worker cleaned their hands appropriately or not. Again, if you haven't had a chance to see this, I would recommend that you have a look at the training film. We have and actually found it helpful to view it. Next slide. Now, to help facilities make direct observational surveys a little more easy to do and to record, It's now possible to use a mobile digital device to facilitate your direct observational surveys. However, this requires the availability of a wireless or internet-capable mobile device, such as a personal digital assistant or a smartphone. A specialized software or a smartphone app is used to record the hand hygiene observations done by trained observers. And then the observations that are recorded on the mobile device can be uploaded wirelessly to an on-site server for data storage and analysis. I'm aware of at least one hospital that's done it that way. Another approach is to have the observations emailed from your mobile device to the observer for easy analysis. And then another approach is to have the observations uploaded to a dedicated internet website for analysis. Next slide. I'll just give you one example of this approach. The iScrub Lite application that can be used on an iPod Touch or an iPhone is really highly customizable. It was developed at University of Iowa. And by using this, it obviates the need to transcribe your data from a paper form into a computer. The exported data can be opened in Excel, and the interface is really quite intuitive. And maybe the best news is that it's free. Next slide. So with this application, you can record the opportunities for the WHO 5 moments of hand hygiene as shown on your right. Or if you choose to, you can just record hand hygiene upon room entry and room exit. The observations are time and location stamped. And again, this application is available free at the iTunes App Store. So if you have access to an iPod Touch or an iPhone, I'd recommend that you download this and check it out and see if it may be helpful to you in recording your observational surveys. Next slide. Now, measuring product usage can be used to monitor hand hygiene frequency, and you can use it to estimate hand hygiene compliance. One system has been popularized by Marianne McGuckin. Involves recording the amount of soap and alcohol hand rub that's used on each nursing unit. And then you also record the number of bed days or patient days on each unit. Then you take the number of milliliters of soap used per bed day and you divide it by 1.7, which is the amount of soap that was thought to be used on average for each hand hygiene episode. And this gives you an estimate of the number of hand hygiene episodes per bed day. Then you can do the same calculation for alcohol-based hand rub, and you get some idea of your estimated compliance rates. Now, this system is currently being used in a number of hospitals in the U.S. I think it's fair to say that we still probably need a little more information on how this method compares to direct observation, but many hospitals are finding it useful. Next slide. Hospitals that use this approach and that forward their data to the hhreports.com website are provided with a graph like the one that's shown on this slide, which gives you the hand hygiene events per patient day on the y-axis, and intervention period is on the x-axis. And again, a number of hospitals have found it useful to provide these estimates of hand hygiene compliance as a form of feedback to their healthcare workers. Next slide. Some of the more automated approaches involve electronic monitoring of product usage or using motion sensing systems to detect room entry and exit and the use of hand hygiene dispensers. These systems usually have not identified that who was entering or exiting the room. And then there's real-time locating systems that can actually track individual healthcare worker movements and the use of hand hygiene products. And finally, there are some preliminary studies using video monitoring of hand hygiene activity. Next slide. Now, electronic monitoring of product usage involves taking electronic counting devices and placing them inside dispensers for alcohol, hand rub, or soap. And then these devices record each time the dispenser is accessed, and it can do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what you get here is you get a measurement of hand hygiene frequency. It doesn't actually give you compliance rates because the device inside the dispenser can't tell how many hand hygiene opportunities occurred. Next slide. I'll give you one example of this. We did a study where electronic devices were placed inside alcohol-based hand rub dispensers, and the devices recorded each time the dispenser was accessed, which we called the hand hygiene event. These events are time and date stamped, and then the event data stored in the little device can be downloaded to a portable wireless data logger, and then we uploaded it to a dedicated website for analysis. Next slide. Now, during the six-month trial period, over 150,000 hand hygiene events occurred on two wards. We had no idea that there were going to be that many on just two wards. In the surgical intensive care unit, during the 6 months, there were over 105,000 hand hygiene events performed using alcohol, hand rub, with a mean hand hygiene event rate per patient day of about 49. On a general medical ward, there were almost 45,000 hand hygiene events using alcohol during the same time period, with a mean hand hygiene event rate per patient day of about 12. And so you can see that there's a marked difference between the two units, which is not really surprising since there are many more opportunities for hand hygiene in an intensive care unit than there are on a general medical ward. The graph on the right side of the slide shows the number of hand hygiene events per patient day by month for the two units. And you can, again, you can see there's a substantial difference between the two units and that the frequency changes somewhat over time. Next slide. We did another study using these same electronic devices in the dispensers in the same two nursing units in 2009. And what we found was that when pandemic influenza began to occur, that we saw pretty substantial increases in how often people were cleaning their hands in these two units, especially in the SICU, as shown in the red line. And then this kind of settled down over about a month. And then we did a trial in both these nursing units where we put in a new hand hygiene product. And if you look at the red line, you see that there was a decrease in hand hygiene frequency throughout the trial period in the SICU. And this was because some of the SICU nurses did not like the new product as well as the one they were used to using. So this slide again shows that you can use these electronic devices to look at hand hygiene frequency trends over time, and you can also look at the potential impact of various interventions that you might be putting in to try to influence hand hygiene behavior. Next slide. Mara and colleagues did a 12-week prospective observational study in an ICU that not only included direct observations, but included a measurement of product usage in terms of how many mLs were used. And they put electronic counting devices inside the hand rub dispensers. They found that the overall hand hygiene compliance rate, which was based on observation of more than 2,000 hand hygiene opportunities, the overall compliance was about 62%. Now, during the same time period, there were over 76,000 hand hygiene dispensing episodes with a mean of about 54 episodes per patient day. When they looked at product measurement, they found that there was an average of about 64 mLs of hand rub and about 34 mLs of soap used per patient day. Next slide. Well, the authors go on to say in their article that even though they did 2,000 opportunities that were observed, that these represented only about 1.3% of the estimated 172,000 opportunities that occurred. And they also noted that in many healthcare facilities, the direct observations account for substantially less than 1% of all the hand hygiene opportunities that occur. They also noted that there was no significant correlation between the observed rate of compliance and alcohol hand rub consumption or total volume of hand rub plus soap products used. And so they kind of questioned about which approach actually gives you the best data. Next slide. Now, some of the advantages of measuring product usage are that it is much less labor-intensive than doing observational surveys. It's feasible on all wards and all times of the day. And there's no selection bias that you may get on observational surveys. But some of the problems associated with product usage include the fact that it can't identify if hand hygiene was performed at the right time during patient care. There's no way to assess hand hygiene technique. In other words, you can't tell how they're cleaning their hands. Information about compliance by healthcare worker type is not possible. And it's still not clear how well product usage correlates with direct observation in terms of compliance levels. So further studies are clearly needed to correlate product usage measurements with observational data. Next slide. One new system that's under development is designed to estimate hand hygiene compliance by using real-time electronic product usage for all the dispensers on each nursing unit. And the data is then sent to a secure website. So this gives you some idea of the numerator or how many hand hygiene events are occurring. And then the system uses a statistically valid benchmark of hand hygiene opportunities per patient day for ICUs and non-ICUs as the denominator. And also, the facility can input local benchmarks on hand hygiene opportunities per patient day if they wish to do so. And the facility can also enter in patient perception survey data if they want to. And then the system does a relative weighting of product usage, direct observation, and patient perception surveys. And the software generates a hand hygiene compliance index for each type of unit. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this system performs when it becomes available. Next slide. Now to look at another kind of automated system, Swoboda and colleagues conducted a three-phase intervention in an intermediate care unit. And the study had three phases. The first one involved electronic monitoring and direct observation. The second phase included electronic monitoring and computerized voice prompts for failure to perform hand hygiene upon exiting the room. And then phase three was electronic monitoring only. Motion sensors were used to detect room entry and exit, of course, without identifying actually who was going in and out of the room. And then sensors attached to sinks and hand rub dispensers detected hand hygiene events. In phase two, a computerized voice prompt system gave one of several pre-recorded messages if hand hygiene was not performed upon exiting the room. Next slide. Well, for results, they found that compared to phase one, that hand hygiene compliance improved 37% during phase two and 41% during phase three. When they adjusted for patient admissions during each of the phases, point estimates of nosocomial infections decreased by 22% during phase two and 48% during phase three. When they went ahead and did adjustment for patient days, the number of infections decreased by 10% during phase two and 40% during phase three. So the investigators concluded that this electronic monitoring provided effective feedback to healthcare workers, as well as improving hand hygiene compliance and nosocomial infection rates. Next slide. Venkatesh et al. Performed a prospective intervention study in a hematology unit. Phase one of their study involved electronic monitoring of hand hygiene compliance. And then phase two included electronic prompts that were in the form of either beeps, a flashing light, and a pre-recorded voice prompt if hand hygiene compliance was not performed. Again, motion sensors detected room entry and exit, with hand hygiene compliance defined as the use of a hand rub dispenser upon room entry and exit. They also used concurrent direct observation by trained observers to validate the electronic data. Next slide. Well, during the study, over 8,000 hand hygiene opportunities were included. The compliance rate improved from 36% at baseline to about 70% during phase two, a substantial increase. Hand hygiene compliance improved on all shifts, and it improved on room entry as well as room exit. When they looked at nosocomial VRE infections, they noted that the incidence decreased, although the decrease did not meet statistical significance. So the authors concluded that the electronic devices could effectively monitor hand hygiene compliance and result in improved compliance rates. Next slide. Now, with the automated real-time locating systems, you can identify and track individual healthcare workers. With these systems, the healthcare worker wears a special badge or tag, and then sensors or readers are located throughout the facility to track the location of the healthcare workers, and this is fed to a centralized database where there is vendor-specific software that helps analyze the data. And then readers attached to or very close to a hand hygiene product dispenser detect hand hygiene events occurring. Now, different vendors utilize different technologies. That are most commonly some type of wireless system, such as RFID, infrared, or a combination of RFID and infrared, or Zigbee, Wi-Fi, or other wireless technologies. Next slide. This slide just shows you an example of one system which has a base station that's centrally located for data storage. And then there's a room sensor that monitors every time a healthcare worker enters and exits the room. And then each healthcare worker wears a badge, like the one shown on the right. This badge has the ability to sense alcohol on the healthcare worker's hands if they put their hand up near the badge. And it also has a green and a red light that can be used to indicate whether or not hand hygiene occurred or didn't occur. Next slide. Another system uses a hand hygiene station that detects alcohol-containing soap or hand rub on the caregiver's hands if they're placed underneath this unit. And then, as shown on the right, there are bed monitors that detect the presence of the healthcare worker near the patient's bed. And again, the healthcare worker wears a special badge that can remind them if hand hygiene is not done upon approaching the patient. And again, there's a red and a green light on this badge as an indicator. Next slide. Some of these real-time locating systems have really quite robust data analytic capabilities. As shown on this slide, some of these will give you the overall compliance rate during the last 7 days. You can analyze it by healthcare worker type, as shown on the pie diagram. You can look at it by nursing unit. It'll also identify the least compliant caregivers. So there's a lot of information that can be gleaned on healthcare worker hand hygiene compliance using a system like this. Next slide. One example of this is a real-time locating system based on Zigbee technology. It was developed at University of Iowa to track the use of hand hygiene products by healthcare workers. The sensitivity, specificity, positive and negative predictive values were determined based on trained observers. And hand hygiene compliance was defined as the use of a hand hygiene dispenser by the healthcare worker upon room entry and exit. And what they found was that with this particular system, the sensitivity was in the range of 91 to 97%, specificity 100%, positive predictive value 100%, and negative predictive value 96 to 99%. So they concluded that this particular system seemed to be a pretty practical and relatively inexpensive system to to determine hand hygiene compliance. Next slide. Saud and colleagues conducted a two-phase observational study where phase one included direct observation of baseline compliance rates, and then phase two used radio frequency readers and triggers to detect room entry and exit and the use of soap and alcohol in the rooms. And they provided feedback to the individual participants. For results, manual recording of the room entry and exit and dispenser use by the investigator revealed that this electronic system detected 98% of room entries and 95% of dispensing events. So it performed pretty well. Overall hand hygiene compliance rates during phase one were 32%, and this was actually a little bit higher than during phase two, which was 25%. And they interpreted this as meaning that perhaps the automated system may have actually given a more reliable estimate of compliance and observations did, because the automated system also took into account findings during the evening hours. Next slide. Edmund and colleagues just published a paper about their two-phase intervention study in a 35-bed ward with alcohol foam dispensers located inside and outside each room. Phase one was a four-week period that included 100 hours of direct observation of hand hygiene compliance rates, but no feedback was given to the healthcare workers during phase one. And then phase two was a two-week period with nurses wearing an alcohol sensor badge. And then at room entry and room exit, the badge is activated at the doorway. Next slide. Now, after performing hand hygiene with the alcohol-based product, the healthcare worker places their hand near the badge, and if alcohol is detected within 8 seconds of room entry or exit, the badge light turns green and emits an audible ping. However, if alcohol is not detected, the badge light turns red and emits a beeping noise. Compliance data are sent wirelessly to a centralized database for monitoring and analysis. Next slide. Well, what the investigators found was that hand hygiene compliance rate for nurses increased from a baseline level of 72% up to 92% during the intervention phase, with compliance rates ranging from about 72% to 100% for individual nurses. And so they concluded that the use of this badge system resulted in a significant increase in hand hygiene compliance. A couple of the limitations that are noted by the authors include the fact that it was a pretty short term study on a single ward, and that it detected only compliance using an alcohol-based product. So since they didn't monitor soap usage, it probably actually underestimated compliance somewhat. Next slide. Now, there's been a few facilities that have looked at automated video monitoring systems. They used multiple video cameras to monitor the use of soap and hand rub dispensers by healthcare workers upon entry and exit into a medical intensive care unit. And then external monitors that were outside the hospital scored the use or the lack of use of the dispensers in real time on a 24-hour, 7 days a week basis. And then in the facilities where the external auditing was occurring, auditor managers performed quality audits of 5% of the events to assure the validity of the data. The study involved a 4-month baseline period, followed by a 6-month period where feedback regarding compliance was displayed on electric boards that were visible in the MICU, and compliance data was updated every 10 minutes, and emails were sent each shift to the MICU managers. Next slide. What the authors found is that the compliance increased from a baseline of about 10% or less to 89% in the last 4 months of the trial period. So a truly significant increase in hand hygiene compliance. And they concluded that these remote video monitoring systems of hand hygiene with real-time feedback to healthcare workers and managers resulted in a significant increase in hand hygiene compliance. Next slide. Now, although these automated monitoring systems seem to have considerable promise, there's a number of issues that I think still need to be worked out. Some of these are listed in some articles by Boskart and all. With regard to the infrastructure of these systems, we need to look at the cost and the ease of installation of the required infrastructure. And I think it's also useful to find out whether the same infrastructure can be used for other purposes other than hand hygiene, such as asset tracking. We need to know the ability of the systems to define a patient zone in multi-bed rooms. We need to know what percent of the hand hygiene opportunities are actually captured by these systems. We need to know whether they'll ever be able to detect certain kinds of opportunities that occur at the bedside, like performing an aseptic procedure, and how they will detect compliance when patients are not confined to bed, like maybe in the hallway. We also need to know the impact on compliance rate if the healthcare worker doesn't actually touch the patient or the environment when they go in the room. Some healthcare workers may have certain preferences about the type of real-time reminders they're given, whether it's audible, a vibration, or a light, or what kind of reminder they receive. And then we need to look at the reliability of the data, both with the video systems as well as the other automated monitoring systems. And of course, your healthcare administrator is going to be very interested in the estimates of return on investment if you're going to install a system like this. Next slide. We also need to know about the acceptability of these systems by healthcare workers. We need to know about their willingness to wear a badge and to be individually monitored. Some of the preliminary studies suggest that this may not be as much of a problem as we might have guessed initially. The healthcare workers are going to want to know whether the reports on individual compliance are confidential, and they're going to want to know who is going to receive the data on their compliance, whether it's going to be their nursing manager, infection control people, and whether or not they individually are going to get access to the data on their own compliance. And they'll want to know how they're going to receive feedback about their compliance. Some people may be concerned about how the data may be used by hospital administration and whether or not it's going to be used as part of their annual performance evaluation. So many of these issues are going to have to be clarified for healthcare workers probably before you implement the system, and this is going to be an important part of implementation. Another thing I think we need to know more about is potential impact of these systems on healthcare worker hand hygiene behavior. Next slide. So in summary, direct observation of hand hygiene activities is currently most common method for measuring hand hygiene compliance. It provides unique information that is not available from any other method, including information about the actual hand hygiene technique, how they're cleaning their hands, how completely they're doing it, and whether or not they're cleaning their hands at the appropriate time before, during, and after a patient care episode. So I'm pretty confident that direct observation is going to continue to have a role in monitoring hand hygiene compliance in the coming years. Nonetheless, there are shortcomings for direct observation, including the fact that surveys are time-consuming, there's a lack of standardization, and you always have to worry about the Hawthorne effect, and the fact that only a very small fraction of all hand hygiene opportunities can be observed. Next slide. Measuring hand hygiene product usage is a lot less time-consuming and less expensive than doing direct observational surveys. It can detect hand hygiene events throughout the day and on all wards if you have the system set up correctly. And it can detect changes in hand hygiene frequency that are related to planned interventions or even unplanned events like a pan-flu epidemic. Some of the shortcomings of the measuring product usage are the fact that it measures hand hygiene frequency but doesn't actually measure compliance rates. However, it can be used to estimate compliance rates. One other shortcoming is it cannot differentiate between the healthcare workers that are using the product versus a visitor or even the patient. And we still don't know how well data correlate with compliance rates established by direct observational surveys. Next slide. The more technologically related automated monitoring systems can provide healthcare workers specific data on hand hygiene activity. They can capture many, but not all, of the hand hygiene opportunities. Currently, they're best at detecting WHO moments 1, 4, and 5. That's before touching the patient and after touching the patient or the environment. They provide real-time compliance data with automated analysis by healthcare worker, nursing unit, and so forth. A few of the preliminary studies suggest that they can lead to substantial improvement in hand hygiene compliance rates, so that's one of the most interesting aspects of these. However, further studies are clearly needed to establish the acceptability of these systems by healthcare workers and their impact long-term on hand hygiene compliance rates. We need to look carefully at the reliability of the compliance rates generated by these systems. And each hospital is going to want to look at the resource needs, the practicality, the cost, and issues related to return on investment. And that's the end of the slides, and I'll turn this over to Paul at this point. Thank you.
Dr. Boyce, thank you very much. I've never heard or, in fact, read such a complete and thorough analysis of the different methods of tracking hand hygiene. A few of them reminded me of that cartoon. I'm sure we've all seen of a man who didn't wash his hands and walking out of a washroom in a restaurant and being greeted by flashing lights and alarms and things. But how important is it, do you think, to pick one method and stay with it as opposed to doing two or three or changing midstream? Or is there value in doing two or three different types?
You know, the Joint Commission, in association with Elaine Larson and an expert committee, published a monograph on measuring hand hygiene activities. And when they did that, they came to the conclusion that there was no ideal system out there at this time. So my personal opinion is that I think that direct observation of healthcare workers is going to continue to be useful because it provides certain types of information that you can't get any other way, even with these newer, more sophisticated automated systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that observational surveys are going to continue to be useful. But because of the shortcomings that I mentioned during my talk, and the fact that, including the fact that you can only sample a very small fraction of all the hand hygiene that's going on, that these automated systems have a promise to give us a lot more information about what's really going on. So I think these systems are pretty early in their development, and some of them are still evolving. But I think it looks like it's pretty likely, in my opinion, that some of these automated systems are going to be found to be useful. I think there's, of course, a lot of concern about the cost of the mm-hmm. automated systems. And I think that one thing that may make these systems somewhat more acceptable to facility administrators is if the system can not only be used for monitoring hand hygiene, but if the basic infrastructure can also be used for other purposes,
yeah.
such as tracking expensive equipment that moves around the facility, so-called asset tracking, or for monitoring the movement of patients through an emergency department, or even things like monitoring refrigerator temperatures in an institution. If there are other applications that are useful to the hospital that employ the same infrastructure, then the incremental cost for setting up a hand hygiene compliance monitoring system, you know, won't be so bad. So I think that these are some of the things, in addition to their acceptability by healthcare workers and their reliability, are things that we're going to have to look at.
Presumably, as more studies come out giving evidence that these sorts of devices not only improve hand hygiene rates, in fact, reduce hospital-associated infections and the costs associated to those infections, then it'll be a lot easier to justify the investment in the hospital-wide technology.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, right now we're looking at the feasibility of doing a trial with one of these systems, not only for hand hygiene, but for asset tracking. And I'm probably going to try to do a cost analysis, looking at the cost of healthcare-associated infections, particularly those that might be transmitted via the hands of healthcare workers, and looking at the cost of those infections versus the cost of implementing the hand hygiene system. And I think administrators are really going to want some of that kind of cost analysis to help them make their decision.
Hard data. You have to present them with the hard data, right?
Hopefully that'll be helpful.
Well, thank you, Dr. Boyce. Enjoy the IDSA conference and your lecture this afternoon. I hope it goes very well. And thank you again for doing this. I'll look forward to speaking with you again very soon.
Okay, thank you for having me.
And to all, we'll talk to you again very soon as well. Happy Infection Prevention Week. Goodbye.